Who here's been chanting a chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day? Yeah. Which chapter are you doing?
Actually, I do it...
Rotational. Nice. You like that?
Yeah. But no, I'm not committing these verses to memory by doing that.
Sure you are. You'll be surprised. Yeah, everything that we hear and absorb in this lifetime, it actually goes in. And it'll come out later, one way or the other. So transcendental sound, hearing transcendental sound is our main purpose in life. It's actually what the human body is designed for. Harival Srivas Prabhu. Human body is designed for tapasya. It has actually no other purpose. This Brahma, he couldn't understand anything, of course he's not a human being, but he set the example and he showed that he was born into this world without any knowledge and without any direction of what to do. And his instruction was tapa, perform tapasya. And by tapasya, he was able to actually understand the absolute truth and to understand Krishna, who revealed himself after he performed tapasya. And so human life actually, nayam deho deha bhajan riloke kashtan kama marhate vidbujamye tapodivyam putraka yena satvam shudyad yasmad brahma saukyam twanantam, that in order to come to our eternal position of real happiness, we have to perform tapo divyam, or divine austerity. Everyone's performing austerity. Point is, you look everywhere and everyone's in the material world. Maya is so tricky. She covers us over and makes us think that we're enjoying. But actually, if we look around carefully, we'll see that actually nobody's enjoying, that actually everyone's suffering. But they think they're enjoying. The hog thinks that he's enjoying palatable types of food stuff and will fight to get at it. And I won't go into the details of that. Worms are happy where they're residing and will struggle to get back in if you pull them out. You know, and hog, same thing. You pull them out of the ditch by the hind legs and it'll gee, 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 and you'll want to get right back into that. And he thinks he's enjoying, so Maya has the throwing and the covering potency. And if we're fortunate, we'll get an understanding that actually this isn't happiness. It's chewing the chewed. And life after life after life, this goes on, this type of false enjoyment for the soul. And if we can get the message from the parampara system through the mouths of pure devotees and hear it regularly and understand that actually my true wealth in life is through tapo divyam, divine austerity, and we can get on that track, then life becomes as easy as anything, and the process of self-realization becomes wide open. Mahat sevam dwaram ahurvam uktes tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. It's a simple science by the association of mahatmas, or those who have realized that life isn't meant for chewing the chewed. And by hearing from them, then the door to liberation is wide open. By the opposite type of association, hearing what normal people hear, then the path to hell is wide open. The door is just wide open. And so what we hear, this practice of hearing Bhagavad Gita every day, and of course chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is paramount in our practice. The Maha Mantra contains everything. Krishna is fully present in the mantra, and the sound vibration of this Maha Mantra is coming from the spiritual world. It's been delivered to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and coming down through the cyclic succession. So by practicing, repeating these syllables of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra over and over again, and learning to calm the mind and to be able to listen to them and to take shelter, actually, we'll see in our course of our lifetime, there is no other shelter but the holy name. Absolutely nothing. And ultimately, we're all alone in this world. We take shelter in so many places, thinking this will give me shelter. Typically, Bhagavad Gita describes the progression, deha patra kalatradeshu. The deha, I run on the beach in the morning when the sun's coming up and breathe the air so that my calves become strong and my lungs become invigorated. and I become a big, fat, strong American, and that my body, I'm thinking my body will protect me. I take all my vitamins, but at any time the body can fail me, and I have nothing to say about it when it does. There's nothing I can do. Do my best, but nothing. Deha patra kalatradishu. And then the family comes in, and we surround ourselves by family members, thinking the family members can protect us, but actually they stand back. When the modes of nature move, the family members have to stand back also and say, nothing I can do, I can't help, I'm helpless. So Bhagavatam says that taking shelter of the body, the byproducts of the body, the nation, our money, these are all fallible soldiers. They're fighting soldiers that we employ, and we think they'll protect us in the hard struggle for existence, but actually they're fallible soldiers. So pashyena pina pashyati, we see it, but then we don't see it. So in order to see, we have to take shelter of the transcendental sound vibration, and Bhagavad Gita is our primary source of understanding. Very few people actually read Bhagavad Gita. Very few people actually go deeply into the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. Nowadays, people are moving on into higher topics, and they've barely touched on the Bhagavad Gita at all. So we should... The fundamentals always win out in the end. Chanting good rounds, concentrating our attention on how to chant Hare Krishna, and actually take shelter of the name 24 hours a day, practicing that, and going deeply into the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. Learning all the verses, learning to think in terms of Bhagavad Gita and see the world in terms of Bhagavad Gita. This will actually show us the path out of the material world, because it's directly Krishna speaking. Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita directly into our ear when we hear these chapters. And he will reveal them to us also. It's amazing when you practice this system of chanting one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day, that sometimes you think, well, I'm not memorizing the verses. But then all of a sudden, you'll hear the verse one morning, you'll be getting ready for work, you're listening to your iPod, which is fully loaded and ready to go, right? With all your lectures on it. You're listening to your iPod, and then, you know, you hear a lecture and Srila Prabhupada's speaking, and then, you know, he'll quote the verse. And you've read that verse over and over again, but it never stuck. But then that morning, the sun's coming up, the incense is burning, you just made an offering to your deities, and you hear that verse, it comes in the right way, and then it just opens like a flower in your heart. And then, you know, that verse becomes part of you. And it's because of your dedication to the Bhagavad Gita. In the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he who studies this sacred conversation worships me by his intelligence. So it's a means of worshiping Krishna, actually. And the intelligence needs that engagement. And the Bhagavad Gita will fulfill that desire of the intelligence and satisfy the intelligence. You go into all these chapters. 13th chapter gives all these detailed philosophies and clear definition of what is knowledge, what is not knowledge, what's the process of knowledge. And it makes sense. You read the 14th chapter and it describes exactly what the modes of nature look like, how they act. And it makes sense. You can see it in your own life. When I'm in the mode of ignorance, I'm useless. I can't do anything. I can't get up, and I know I should do something, but I just won't. Why? I'm in the mode of ignorance. When I'm in the mode of passion, I gotta have the next thing. And, you know, and I'm dead set on it, and it doesn't matter if I tear my skin off to get it, I've gotta go get it, the mode of passion. And in the mode of goodness, there's illumination, and there's a sense of peace, because I understand I don't have to become something, I already am something. I exist, and I see. So Bhagavad Gita makes sense. It satisfies the intelligence, and the mind comes under control also by hearing the verses of Bhagavad Gita. When the mind wants to deviate and go here or there, you know, let's try this again. And the intelligence says, wait a minute, didn't we just read that in the Bhagavad Gita? What is the source of misery? Contact with the senses of their objects. The mind's going, nonsense. Nonsense. Just try it. Just do it again. And the intelligence says, no, we just read that. Let's just try it this one time, and then we'll just, you know, I'll give you a shot at it next time. even though you've had millions of lifetimes to try. And then you try, and then you get the result, and you become peaceful. And so Bhagavad Gita, this is the light that takes us out of the material world. It's Krishna's direct words. So just the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Bhagavad Gita. Just those two things and Krishna Prasadam. And we're completely set to go back home, back to God. It's a simple message, can be spread all over the world. People want to become happy? Chant this mantra, read this one book. You don't have to do anything else. Your whole life will change if you just do these. And Bhagavad Gita makes sense to the multitudes. Anyone who reads Bhagavad Gita, a little bit, they'll be intrigued. What's the war all about? Why are these people fighting? The chapter we're in now, they can relate to Arjuna, who's now in despair. Everyone's felt despair in the material world. And it's in this first chapter, Nimitani, how does that? Paritani, Nimitani, Paritani. Krishna's saying, Arjuna's saying, I got the opposite result. Is it whatever? That everyone's experience in the material world, you set out to do something and you get the opposite result. This is Viparitani Keshava, or Keshava? Viparitani. It's in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, so it makes sense. So this repetitious chanting of the Bhagavad Gita, going through one chapter a day, either same chapter until you learn it, or you can stay within a realm of chapters and say, you know, rotate through three chapters or six chapters, or the whole thing, or just stick on one for a year until it becomes, you know, so you know every word in the whole chapter. You found it? Which verse is it? Chapter 1, text number 30. Let's read the verse. Na cha shokshnam yavastatum brahmativa cha me manaha nimitani cha pashyami viparitani keshava na nor cha also altogether shaknomi am I able avastatum to stay brahmati forgetting eva as cha in me mine manaha mine nimitani causes cha also pashyami I see viparitani just the opposite keshava O killer of the keshi demon a demon keshi Krishna. Translation, I am now unable to stand here any longer. I'm forgetting myself and my mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune, O Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon. Purport, due to his impatience, Arjuna was unable to stay on the battlefield, and he was forgetting himself on account of this weakness of mind. Excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildering condition of existence. Bhayam dvitiya binibeshita syat. Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Such fearfulness and loss of mental equilibrium take place in persons who are too affected by material conditions. Arjuna envisioned only painful reverses in the battlefield. He would not be happy even by gaining victory over the foe. The words nimitani viparitani are significant. Let's say those words a couple times. Nimitani viparitani. Two more times. Nimitani viparitani. Nimitani viparitani are significant. When a man sees only frustration in his expectations, he thinks, why am I here? Everyone is interested in himself and his own welfare. No one is interested in the Supreme Self. Arjuna is showing ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's will. One's real self-interest lies in Vishnu or Krishna. The conditioned soul forgets this and therefore suffers material pains. Arjuna thought that his victory in the battle would only be a cause of lamentation for him. And so this is this situation in the material world that whatever viparitani, nimitani viparitani, whatever position I think I'm going to get, the opposite thing comes out due to the force of material nature. So the remedy to this is to take shelter of Krishna consciousness. So what chapter are you chanting? 15. Oh, nice. 15 still? I mean, not still in the way still, but nice. Good to do. You're doing a chapter? 10 verses out of anywhere out of the Bhagavad Gita? Chapter 1. Oh, nice. So you do the first 10, or you just do 10 and then 10? Well, that's a good system. Anybody else doing? Yes? Chapter 15. Nice. And are you enjoying the process? You have a taste for it. So it's not like drudgery or something. Is it drudgery for you?
No.
Yeah, it's there's a way in which once you get used to doing the chapter every day, it's something you look forward to, because there's actually some real juice there in doing the chapter. And even in that, there's juice. Because then you're thinking that, look, I don't have any taste, but I'm doing it anyway. And then you feel satisfied that you're doing your duty. Because you know by your intelligence, even if you don't fully tasting it that day, you know by your intelligence that this is the right thing to do, that actually this is nourishment. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And sometimes the payback comes later. You know, you're chanting these chapters, and then, you know, somewhere or other you'll hear your verse and you recognize it. It becomes familiar to you. And, you know, you develop a relationship with the verses. It's actually Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. And this is, you know, Krishna's telling us in the Bhagavad Gita how to see him and how to develop a relationship with. He says, I'm the taste in water. I'm the light of the sun and the moon. Now, if we're able to experience Krishna when the sun comes up, and he's actually there, he is the sun. And when he appears in that form, normally we're so distracted by the material energy and by the mind is saying, I got to get to work, I'm in a hurry, the sun's in my eyes, I should have cleaned the windshield yesterday. 'Cause